What's going on, folks? Welcome to Got Your Back, post-game edition. Well, that's a little better, isn't it? The Oilers bounce back from a tough performance against the Dallas Stars. You know what I think? I think that loss to Dallas was exactly what this team needed. I think it was exactly what they needed. That's my idea. Jason Strudwick standing by. We're going to dive into that one. Rob Brown as well, getting set to break down the Oilers win over the Colorado Avalanche. Coming at you from our Long Shot studio, as always, out here in Sherwood Park. All game days are all-day happy hour specials. $5 Long Shots Lager. More than just a golf experience, great dining experience as well out at Long Shots. It's always the podcast brought to you by Sherwood Buick GMC, our title sponsors. We've been talking about those goals that they set for the month of March. Well, they knocked it out of the park. 400 vehicles they got done. It's because they know how to take care of their clients. They know how to take care of their customers. They've got a streamlined buying process. You don't pump 400 vehicles through a dealership sales in a month if you don't know how to get things done quickly. Phil and his staff are well-trained. I know them. I bought my truck there. They just do an awesome job. So if you're at all thinking right now about buying a new vehicle or a used vehicle, go see the crew at Sherwood Buick GMC. Tell them Got Your Back sent you. Give you a deal on pricing and then some free detailings as well. 10 Auto Mall Road or gmcpod.com is the website. As we say, good evening to Struddy and Rob Brown, who's in the car on the ride home. Struds. Brownie, we got a lot of action on Twitter tonight about your suit, Struds. Lots of action, bud. People felt
strong. I hope people didn't get lost in how good I looked. I mean, it's what's coming out of my mouth that's important. That's obvious from the prediction I made on what day was that last game? Or was there one person being positive in the city?
Was that your idea?
That was
me. I feel like that was my idea. Wasn't that me, Brownie?
It's pretty amazing.
I didn't hear it. I wasn't on that podcast, but I'm sure that it was you, Shoggy.
So Struds came on, and while the sky was falling and everybody was, the whole year was in peril and it was a big disaster, Struds comes on and is like, this is great. This is the best thing for this team. All your fans should be tap dancing and skipping through the streets. And Struds said that he hasn't been this happy since they made the third Rocky III, I think was the analogy that he stumbled on. The third Rocky III. He whiffed on that one. But that was his point, Brownie. And, well, I guess the big guy was kind of right, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I mean, it was a wake-up call. And you prefer the wake-up call to come with games left in the regular season as opposed to game one or two of the playoffs. I think they saw in the game against Dallas, when you get away from your system, when you try to cheat, when you get lazy, good teams will make you pay.
Yeah.
And when you come out against Colorado tonight and you play the discipline style game that you were successful with, you can find success. So, yeah, it was a wake-up call. A couple times in the last few weeks in Toronto and in Dallas, they found that if they don't bring their A game, that they can get beat by good hockey clubs.
Struds, how was your performance on set tonight? I couldn't hear you. Like, we can't hear. We can see it, but we can't hear. What would you rate yourself? What would you give Gene? What would you give Stoff? Like, order yourselves 1, 2, 3 by performance.
Well, I mean, Gene's always so good. And then Bob just brings the thunder. I'm there kind of window dressing, right? They're kind of, I'm like the nice little piece of fixture you put on top of an ice cream cake. So I was good. I mean, I just solid performance as usual.
Pretty high-profile person in the press box said to me tonight, Struds does a good job on that. Can't say who, but it was a nod of approval from someone pretty high up the food chain, bud. So
Jim Matheson. Yeah. Thank you, Maddie. Thank you, Maddie.
Okay, guys, let's get to the breakdown of this game brought to you by Mr. Dirk. Hey, Brownie, are you just getting home now?
Yeah, I'm sitting in my driveway.
Do you want to go in and then hop on camera rather than sitting in your driveway and join us in like 5 minutes? You can do that if you want, bud.
Okay. I'll see you guys in a few minutes.
Yeah, that makes sense. Hey, we'll get you on video instead. Sorry, Zuby, to throw you that curveball. Struds and I will get started with our breakdown here. Rather than Brownie acting like a creep sitting in his driveway in his car, Mr. Dirk brings us the breakdown tonight. The iconic men's clothing store founded in 1939, just off White Avenue and 102nd Street. They have everything you need for every aspect of your wardrobe, casual stuff like jeans and pants and shirts and sweaters. And on the formal side, we saw Strutty tonight, an amazing selection of brand name suits, sport coats, and ties. Visit MrDirk.com. Biggest difference tonight, as opposed to the other night, Struds, in the Oilers was blank.
I think just puck management. They were really tight with the way they organized themselves. It was, especially early, I thought it was a very tightly played game. Both sides, especially having the two guys lined up, the two star lines going against each other, and the high-profile D, they were really making sure that they were in the right side of the puck. And the thing is, it's not super hard to do that. There are sometimes you'll get beat, but, you know, you don't want to beat yourself. So I thought they did a really good job with that. Puck management being between their man and the net more often than not.
Zuby, I know you've been in a complete scramble in the background there. Did you get the Sport Logic stats together, bud?
I did. It wasn't a scramble until 5 minutes before live. So.
I know you're doing a great job back there, pal. We love you. I know technical issues that you have, you know, you can only do so much. Can you throw up the Sport Logic stats? Because yep. I think they tell a pretty good tale here. And let's just get to them now and we can discuss a little bit more. But look, the high danger scoring chances here, Strud, 17-3. Odd man rush is 10-1. Scoring chances off the cycle, 14-1. I mean, in a lot of these categories, we saw it on the shot clock. In a lot of ways, it was a pretty one-sided affair tonight. And, you know, these are normally very close games between these two teams. But, you know, I think these stats tell a pretty accurate story of the way the ice was tilted for a lot of the night.
All right, Brownie's back. So now I can actually say what I think. last game, the Dallas Stars took it to the Oilers. The Oilers couldn't keep up. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. The Oilers made bad decisions, and I was happy after that game because it was a wake-up call. Now after this game, where Oilers fans or fans and fans are floating on cloud nine, I'm here to bring them down. We have to really be careful about how much you take out of this game. So bring it down. It's time to come down. Last night, Colorado played against Minnesota, flew from Minnesota to Edmonton, a long drive from the airport, from both to get to the airport in Minnesota, then to get here. They probably got in the rooms about 2:15, 3 o'clock in the morning, 2:15, 2:30. Then they had to come around and play tonight. So this isn't a fully energized Colorado team. So this is a game I caught as a win, but you didn't beat them down. They were tired. And if you look at the games that went on, they really lost, especially when Mika went out. So, guys, I'm bringing you down. I brought you up last time. Tonight, I'm bringing you down.
Wow, just the common sense emotional barometer of Oiler Nation, Brownie. Hey, look at this guy. Two pods in a row.
I'm ready. Brownie, am I wrong?
No, you're right. That was a very tired Colorado team. They look exhausted.
Dog.
The whole game. And then the injury to Rantanen and the terrible play by their goaltender. I mean, Georgie the Fifth was awful. That goal at the end of the second period, that goal that Kane scored at the end of the second period, that killed the Colorado Avalanche. They had no chance after that. They're off tired. The yeah, off the glove, and it goes off of Kane and in. I mean, McLeod shot. That's the end of the game for the Avalanche. They were a tired team. They're not coming back from two down.
So the stream, Strutty, the Weiss Johnson YouTube stream, entirely agreeing with you. Some stranger says Avs on the back end of their back-to-back. That was a tired team. M. Materi says they didn't want to lose, meaning the Oilers. Braden Johnson says Avs died off after the first and looked exhausted and disinterested. Troy says Strutty nailing it in all capital letters. Jacob is in with hate to admit it, but Strutty is right.
What?
Obelisk 21, they have a murderer's row schedule. Sorry, I'm not sure who he was. That was something different. So, yeah, it was pretty – they took advantage, though. You got to take advantage of teams that come in and are on the back-to-backs. Yeah. You're the tired team on a bunch of nights. And, you know, when you have the tired team in your sights, you got to take advantage. And, Brownie, the Oilers took care of their business tonight. Fair enough. Kind of a built-in excuse for the Avs for sure. But this was a no-doubter for the Oilers. Like, this was an exclamation point win with the way they did this.
Well, they needed they needed a game to come in and wash what happened the other night away. And they did that from top to bottom. Darnell Nurse did not have a good game in Dallas. He was very good tonight. CeCe played well tonight. The third line was excellent in this hockey game. Leon was not very good, and Dallas was good tonight. Ekholm was all world. This Skinner, good. From top to bottom, everybody came tonight and did their job. And again, you can't control what the other team does. You can't control their schedule. You can't control when they get in. You simply go out and play your game. And I thought the Oilers, from top to bottom, were the better team from start to finish. So, it was a good night for the Oilers. Then now they just got to keep rolling. And the one thing, for me, they got 6 games left, 7 games left? Stay healthy. We see what happened, how your season can change. If Rantanen's out for any period of time, that is a huge blow to the Colorado Avalanche. And I don't know about you, Strads. I saw that hit. I don't think it was the hit. I think it was his head hitting the ice after he got hit. That was what knocked out Rantanen.
Huge. Well, we got to talk about both hits. You know, Ekholm was a man on a mission tonight. I thought he set the tone with that hit on Rantanen. I want to say the first, or at least within the first 5 minutes, Brownie or so.
Yep.
And then he absolutely lays out a really big man. Mikko Rantanen is 6'3", 6'4". He's a beast. And not that Ekholm's a small guy, but he went in there. And I don't think that Ekholm actually meant to hit him that hard. I think it just... Yeah. The way Rantanen turned, I think just sometimes a hit just comes together. And Rantanen goes down like a sack of, you know, hammers, just down. And that was such a hard hit. I'm glad that Ekholm didn't fight. He doesn't need to fight. And he was in his head, in the other team's head. But Mikko Rantanen is their third best player. So you take the third best player off the Oilers, it's either Ekholm or it's either, well, it could be Ekholm, Bouchard or Hyman. And it's a huge impact. And that top line, it was so loaded. Now you take him off that line. Now it's, you know, Drouin and McKinnon and Artturi Lehkonen, which is a good player, but he's not even the same stratosphere as Mikko Rantanen. So completely changed the look of that game for the Edmonton Oilers and Colorado. And, if Mikko's out, if he has a head issue or I'm just guessing, whatever, a shoulder, whatever it is, that is a massive problem. And he can pretty much kiss them goodbye.
Piling up the points, Matthias Ekholm is. And then just a critical, and you don't want to see anybody get hurt. We all agree to that. Yep. But that was a critical moment in the game. You make one, with a clean hit, you don't take a penalty. You put one of their better players out of the game with a clean hit. And then you put your team on the power play by showing some poise in that moment. Let's get to the Weiss Johnson soundbox here because I want to hear from Matthias Ekholm. Told an interesting story after the game. When we were asking him a couple of questions about what happened. Weiss Johnson, by the way, offering $200 off their Fantech HEPA filter system. Be proactive in trying to keep the air in your home clean, right? If we have another wildfire season, and we're all hoping that we don't, but if you do, you put a system like this into your house, and on days where it's just nuts outside, your home will be your safe space. The air in your home will be clean. It will be good. Very helpful for those with respiratory issues as well. So check them out at weiss-johnson.com. Weiss Johnson, Weiss Johnson, whoa. Bit of a longer clip here from Matthias Ekholm. He addresses the hit, and then I asked him afterwards about his decision not to take the fight that was staring at him by Johnson.
First of all, I hate to see that he was stumbling getting out of there. I never want to hit anyone so that they get hurt or injured or anything like that. But I've seen the hit about 15 times in the intermission. I cannot see anything different that I can do. I think it's a shoulder on shoulder. The play happens so fast. I usually just go looking for the puck. I usually don't hit that much. And it just happened to be that he wasn't expecting it, and I thought I mean even if you look on the replay, like my skate, I'm stopping right before the hit, like I'm not going, I could have gone right through him, but I thought I let up, and still it's hard for him when he doesn't see me coming, right? So hopefully he'll be all right, but in my opinion it was a hockey play.
And in that situation, I mean, obviously they're going to try and react. You kind of kept your cool in that moment. You end up on a power play. Like, is it just a matter of not feeling the need to fight after what you feel is a clean hit there?
I feel like every situation is different. Obviously, it's timing of the game. It's obviously what Who comes and asks me? There's a bunch of factors that goes into that, but I think I saw a quote from, I think it was Chara way back when Boston was going at it with Toronto, and there was a big hit, and he was the first guy there, and the reporter asked, why didn't you jump him? And his answer was, well, to be a leader in this league and to be a player that plays a lot of minutes, you also got to read the situation, and knowing that we had a power play coming up there, we almost snuck a goal in there, and sometimes that can be as effective as just dropping your gloves for no reason. I thought that the hit was clean. If I hit him in the head, I get it. I got to respond. I got to answer the bell and all that stuff. But in my opinion, that's kind of what went through my mind.
You're muted there, Shaggy.
Oh, sorry about that, guys. Struds, what do you think?
I agree with him. I just don't think it wasn't. He didn't run at him. He didn't leave his feet. He didn't use his elbow. Like, it's a clean hit. And like I said, I don't even think it was really intentional. Like, I don't think it wasn't one a deliberate going, I'm just going to run this guy over. And honestly, for the Oilers, it's more valuable if he doesn't fight, because you could see that the rest of the night, the Avs players were trying to get at Ekholm, and he just kept playing. It kind of draws attention away from them playing the game and more trying to get Ekholm back. So I was, if someone would have jumped him, and you could saw Manson got him, kind of try to jump him later in the game,
yeah,
and kind of hit him hard. I think someone else needs to jump in and help out Ekholm in that situation. He doesn't need to fight Josh Manson, who's way above his fighting level. Jack Johnson, it's not a big deal. My 35-pound dog could fight him. But you gotta kind of look at what's going on. But I like the way he responded. He doesn't need to fight Brownie.
No, I agree. If you do something that's stupid, you have to answer the bell. It was a clean hit. I like the fact where he said, I don't normally hit guys very often. I was actually slowing down. You can see my skate. I could listen to Ekholm talk all the time. I mean, he's just an honest player and an honest interview. And I like the fact that he showed concern about Rantanen. He doesn't want him injured. He doesn't want to hurt a player. No one wants to hurt someone on the opposition. So, yeah, I thought Ekholm did everything right there. I thought Ekholm was outstanding in this hockey game. As it was funny, I know that we were talking about best defenseman Hughes and Makar and everything, and to me, Ekholm is by far the Edmonton Oilers' best defenseman. I don't think this is a Bouchard versus Makar versus Quinn Hughes. If the Oilers are missing one player in the playoffs that would hurt them the most on the back end, it's Matthias Ekholm. He is playing that good right now.
Yeah.
Well said.
Yeah, Struds, do you agree? Do you feel the same way about his placement among these defensemen? Even though, I mean, Bouchard's points are incredibly impressive, but that's not maybe what this team would miss the most, right?
Yeah, well, it's unfair to say that, you know, Bouchard's points are hollow because he plays on the power play. He gets some. No, he gets a lot of
five on five.
He's still putting it together. But I think Ekholm just touches so many parts of the game. He lifts up his partner. Or mm-hmm. I shouldn't say that's unfair. He supports his partner in a very strong way.
Strong. He lifts up his partner, buddy.
That's
he
unfair.
He lifts I up his partner. Unfair. I'll say it. How's that unfair? We notice a difference when he's not there. Like he allows Evan Bouchard to play the game a certain way, I think. Yeah. I think that's fair.
Okay. Well, he's gonna get all those points. It's just a hard comment to make about a guy who's gonna make that much money. But anyways, that's for the summer. But then I'll say, you know, he's also on the power play, second unit. He's on, you know, arguably the first or second unit power penalty kill, however the happens. And then just his calming presence for the rest of the team. I agree. I think he is the Oilers' most valuable defenseman.
You know, if you think about a guy coming out of the lineup, part of that equation, Brownie, too, is, I mean, Ekholm's defensive prowess and his penalty killing and all those things, the Oilers would dramatically miss that. They have guys that mm-hmm. can produce offense. And Bouchard is hugely valuable from that standpoint and from a puck-moving standpoint and keeping it moving in the right way. He does so many good things. But, you know, Ekholm's ability to lock it down and play that style of game would be greatly missed, no question, by the Oilers. Evander Kane gets off the schneid, guys. We've been talking about him a little bit recently. Quite frankly, probably haven't put enough focus on how long this streak went on for. This was a long, long streak for a guy, you know, who expects of himself to be scoring goals regularly in this league. But Struds, we felt like his game was coming around and eventually this was going to give. And maybe he started playing the game in a way to create some of those breaks. Is that fair?
It is. And they weren't the prettiest of goals, but that doesn't matter. When you haven't scored in that long, and I've scored way less and way longer between good times, you just take it any way you can. And I think recently he's been driving the net, really skating, moving his feet. I mean, the first goal he scored, there's 2 seconds left in the period, he just drives the net. I mean, who else does that? Most guys wouldn't do that, but I give him credit for going and making that happen. But he was around it today. I thought Brownie, he was around the puck, making things happen, getting to the front of the net along with his buddy, Corey Perry.
Well, he was frustrated that the puck hasn't gone in as of late. But the one thing when you're a goal scorer, as long as there's chances, if you're getting chances, you feel, okay, I've scored before. I've got the same hands. Eventually, these are going to find the back of the net. In the last number of games, Kane has gotten some grade-A looks, like wide-open looks, to the ones where he's looking at the heavens afterwards, like, how did that not go in? So as long as you were continuing to get those looks, you still had confidence that things were eventually going to turn for you. So, yeah, I thought the Kane-Perry McLeod line was excellent in this hockey game, and a big part of it was Kane. The first goal Perry scored, that was started by Kane behind the net forecheck. He brought it up to CeCe, and then both goals he scores later on. So they need a productive Kane come playoff time, and we have seen him being a streaky player. So hopefully this is Connor Brown got started with a goal off his foot. Hopefully Evander Kane gets started with a goal off, I don't know if it went off his arm, his chest, his stick, where it went. But it was a weird goal that got him going in the right direction.
Back to the Weiss Johnson soundbox. Zuby, we grabbed Evander Kane, did we not?
I did.
Perfect. Thanks, pal.
Yeah, you saw it with Brownie too, right? You know, goes off his foot, and then I think, you know, he gets a little hotter in the next 5-6 games. You know, usually when things aren't going your way, you're going to need a bit of a bounce to go your way, and that's what happened.
That is what happened. You know what I'm not surprised at all about, you guys? That in a big game where the Oilers wanted to make sure they came out and started well and got themselves on track, and it was kind of a key moment against a key opponent, Struds, that it's Corey Perry that finds a way to get things going for them. This is a guy that's going to, he's not going to be able to do it every night in the playoffs, but this is a guy that's going to like grease and grime his way to some big moments. And I thought we saw one tonight.
It's an impressive tip. I mean, that tip was way outside.
Yeah.
It was like, that was missing the net. It might even miss that end if he doesn't tip it back into the net. So pretty impressive by him, but you know, you look at the guys who kind of, I thought, kickstarted this group. I think Ekholm, a wily veteran, has been around for a while, being physical. I think he led the team in hits. Then Corey Perry gets the goal parade started. Just understanding the moment, right? And that's why you bring those guys in. That's what they do, right? They're maybe not your constant drivers, but they're under guys that can raise up in those special moments like they did tonight, Brownie.
Well, it's funny. When we talked about Corey Perry, a lot of people say, well, okay, you know, he's going to have moments, but he can't play because of his speed in the playoffs. There's going to be teams you can't play him against. Well, tonight was a very fast team, as fast as anyone. Corey Perry looked good. The Oilers, I believe, now are going to play the LA Kings in the first round. Big, strong, physical team. Not a fast team, I don't think. Corey Perry will play well against them. Vegas is another team that they could play. Vegas is a big, strong, physical team. Don't find them particularly overly fast. Corey Perry can make a difference in that series as well. So Corey Perry, to me, has been better than I had expected. And this is a guy that's a former MVP, 50-goal scorer. But he's just he understands what it takes to win. He's like that guy that, I don't know how to play this card game, but I'm going to find every angle that I can figure out so that at the end of the night, I've got all the money in my side. He just knows how to work a game. And we saw that tonight. Yeah, that puck was going way wide, but he is a long man. Long arms, long stick. You don't want to shoot the puck on net with Corey Perry. Shoot wide. He's going to deflect it back towards the net, and it's going to beat the goalie on the angle. So that was a nice play. That line was very good.
All right, time now for the UCAN Youth Services Relentless Player of the Night. An Edmonton charity, relentless in helping youth age 16 to 24 get out of harm's way and find employment back in our workforce. Visit ucan.ca to see how your donation can change lives right here in our community. Struddy?
Evander Kane. I mean, we just spoke about him, but I honestly think that you've seen it coming lately. He's coming around. And although they weren't beautiful goals, the fact that he scored two, honestly, I would have made him the first star tonight. I thought he had a good game. I know Connor got the first star, but I would have gone with Evander.
Brownie, what do you think?
I agree. I mean, there's a lot of guys you could have thrown out tonight. I would have put Ekholm in there too. The two big hits that he had on Colorado's big player Rantanen. And think about it too. This is a game that Ekholm got beat wide on a goal. We don't see Ekholm get beat very often. And how does he respond? He comes back with some big hits, some big offensive plays. Yeah. So Kane, it's funny. The guys that play with a little bit of edge tonight were the ones that really noticed. Kane, Perry, Ekholm. And that's the difference in this hockey game. I think the Oilers had a little more edge than the Colorado Avalanche did.
Going to give a notable mention to the pairing of Nurse and CeCe too. I thought they had a good bounce back game, Darnell Nurse in particular, after some tough mistakes last game. And I thought CeCe was pretty good. I think definitely worth noting those guys as well. But Evander Kane certainly very deserving. All right, still lots to discuss. How about the head-to-head power-on-power matchup, McDavid and MacKinnon? Talk a little bit about what went on with the Vegas Golden Knights tonight and what it could mean in the standings. So plenty still ahead. Stay with us. The fastest-growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard-to-reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
Storm chasing sounds exciting. Most days, though, it's a lot of standing in the rain. But you know what's exciting and dry? PlayAlberta.ca. With hundreds of new live tables, online casino games, and instants.
PlayAlberta.ca. Go all in on excitement. Sign up today with promo code CASINO50 and get a $50 welcome bonus. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense.
All right, time now for our takeaways brought to you by Redefined Health. Focus on restoring proper health and function, not just reducing symptoms. Redefined Health is a multidisciplinary clinic dedicated to helping you get healthy, stay healthy, and perform better. Chiro, preventative plans, exercise, nutrition, lifestyle recommendations, they do it all. Go see Dr. Tyler Fix and his amazing staff or visit redefinedhealth.com for more information. Chris Knobloch started McDavid and Draisaitl on separate lines the last meeting against the Avalanche, and I think by the end of the second period he had made the adjustments and was going power on power, and this is the way he chose to start the game tonight. Brownie, do you think it had something to do with the back-to-backs? Matthias Ekholm actually suggested that in his scrum, that part of the reason why that would have made sense to do tonight is because of the back-to-back scenario that the Avalanche were coming in on. And, obviously it worked.
Well, yeah. I mean, MacKinnon and Rantanen play more than any other forwards in the National Hockey League. And they would have played a ton last night. They fly in. I think Reed talked to their play-by-play guy, and they said it was 3 o'clock in the morning at the hotel. So it would have been a tired team. Now you got Rantanen and MacKinnon who playing a little bit on fumes, and now they got to chase Connor and Leon around. And there was a couple shifts early in the game where MacKinnon and Rantanen were just skating around their own zone for 25, 35 seconds. And when you've got them in their own zone pinned in, that's good. That's a very good thing. And as the game went on, the goal that McDavid scored, his second goal of the night, MacKinnon was the back checker. He just skated off the ice. And McDavid kind of looked behind, and it turned into a 3-on-2. Goes to Bouchard, back to McDavid. That was on MacKinnon. He had nothing in the tank, and he just left the ice. So 100%, take advantage of it. You've got it. I know that Knobloch talked about it. You give you go up to Connor and Leon and say, you know what? You're going to go against Rantanen and MacKinnon. I think you guys are better. They take that to heart. And 100%, they were trying to win that battle tonight, and they did.
But it's power on power, and I think that the Oilers' power is stronger than Colorado's. You know, like, no disrespect to Drouin, but he's not the level of the other five players out there, right? So I think that if you're saying, okay, Leon and Connor, we need you to win this battle here, and that takes a lot of the steam out of kind of their engine. And then after that, you're looking at Nuge and company to take on the rest of their lineup, which you know, you had some guys coming back from injury and that. And I think that you're pretty comfortable with that if you're Knobloch.
What did you think of the second line, Brownie? Henrik, Nugent Hopkins, and Fogle.
Normally, I would like that line. I didn't honestly notice them a whole lot today. Mm-hmm. I thought they were quiet. For whatever, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Nuge. I think Henrik's been good since he's been here. Fogle's had some great stretches. Tonight, I, in all honesty, if I think back through the game, I'm like, yep, really didn't notice them a whole lot. Not in a good or a bad way. But I do, Knobloch, you guys interviewed him afterwards. Knobloch said something along the lines, when we have our other three lines playing as well as they are, I can keep these guys together as long as I want. So I wouldn't be surprised seeing Leon and Connor together for a bit now.
Only 11 and change here for 11:35 for Adam Henrik tonight, Struds. Do you think that second line, is that what it should look like when the big guns are playing together?
I like both Nuge and Henrik. I don't love them playing together. They're very similar, right? They don't make a mess of things. Like, you know, there's no one out there kind of, you know, getting on the forecheck and making things ugly. And like, you know, I think they're too similar. So I like them on the top lines. I don't think I like them together. I don't like them on the same line.
Interesting. Maybe you got to mix in Evander Kane there somewhere, potentially.
Well, I know you want to.
Well, it's not about want. It's about if they're going to hoist a cup, what role will Evander Kane need to have played on this team? And I believe the answer is a top six role for them to get to where they want to go, flat out. You know,
so maybe you throw Kane up with Nuge and Fogle, and then it's Henrik at center with McLeod and Perry. You know, I don't know, Brownie. I think they're so similar, those two guys. I don't know if I want them on the same line. It's kind of a bit like Kane and Hyman.
I mean, it's funny you said that. I didn't think of it that way. I didn't notice them. But now the way you said it, I'm like, well, that's probably why I didn't notice them. There really was not a whole lot going on out there. Not defensively, you never saw them hemmed in, but it really never created anything. And I'm not sure you're moving Evander Kane into your top six right now. He's on the third line. That third line was very good. That third line will be together tomorrow night and go forward, see what they can do. But I do agree that if they're going to put Connor and Leon together, you need a little more noise out of your second line. And I thought it was a very quiet night for those three.
Shane Matheson says, leave the third line alone, Struds. Naveed says, a second line that is quiet and not causing a negative impact on the flow of the game against the Stanley Cup playoff team, then that's a good line. Okay, let's talk about the power play here. Couple of games in a row where I think it's been a bit of a negative energy vortex for the team. This is one of the elements they want to have rocking and rolling heading into the postseason. So, Brownie, you tell me, what's up with the power play? How do you think it's playing? Are you concerned?
No, not concerned at all. Tonight they had a couple of good looks that just didn't go in. Leon twice backdoor wide open nets. He missed. he doesn't normally. Connor McDavid, you saw the frustration. He was backdoor one-timer. I mean, Georgie the Fifth made about five good saves tonight, and that was about it. But he robbed Connor a couple times. Yeah, I got zero concern about their power play. They set records last year. It's the same group. Mm-hmm. There are teams that are going to try other things to try and slow them down, but I got zero concern about the Edmonton Oilers power play.
I've got a little bit of concern with their approach. And Brownie, this is your area, so I'm not going to step on your toes.
Well, please but do. Step on toes, bud.
I think especially early in the game, the Oilers, I know when I killed penalties, when the puck wasn't moving too quickly, I was either able to apply pressure or it was kind of slow. And I felt that early it was quite slow. The Oilers, I think, are best, and it's hard to defend them when they're moving the puck really quickly. I thought it was actually the second unit that moved the puck quite quickly. Then Darnell had a one-timer that went in front, and then, you know, then the old fire started in their zone. So, you know, am I wrong? I think that it's just they're holding on to it too long instead of moving it, especially early. Get it 2-3 hard passes, get everyone moving around, then zip it around. I think they're a little bit too deliberate right now with their power play.
And I got no problem with that too, Struds, but the question I got, are you concerned? Zero concern. This is Connor and Leon. They'll figure out what they need to do. But yeah, no concern about this power play is going to be a big part of their playoffs success. And teams right now are trying everything they can to try and slow it down. But tonight there was three or four opportunities that if those go in, we're talking about a power play that went 3 for 5. So yeah, I've got zero concern.
I'm going to prepare to feel triggered here, Brownie. Okay. I'm going to trigger you. Are you ready for this?
Yep.
I still don't like the fact that there are some grade A shooting chances that are being ignored. And I think that heading into the playoffs, that I think that mindset needs to shift. I don't think that's going to work in the playoffs. When you are in grade A scoring opportunity areas, I still think I would like to see more of a shooting instinct from them a little bit more regularly.
Well, I watched the Colorado Avalanche do the same thing tonight as the Edmonton Oilers. They actually turned down more shots than the others. It wasn't even close.
Yeah, that'll work out for them.
But I take that power play any day of the week. I will allow Connor and Leon to decide when they want to shoot instead of Ryan Rashog.
Strud scared away in
here.
Yeah. No, Strud, Zuby, anyone?
Yeah, no, I've made my case here before, and I think that there are times when I'm only speaking as a defender, not as a guy who scored any amount of goals. But when you get a shot on net, it seems like you're just chasing all the time. Mm-hmm. I liked it when they were passing it around on the outside. And then you're like, okay, we're under control. And all of a sudden there's a shot. Now you're just running. And that's when things tend to open up. So I'd like to see,
You're right. Start chaos. A shot creates chaos. Right. And the guys that are looking at the puck, the offensive players have an advantage. 100%.
Yeah. And so I think that's the challenge, is that to get those shots off. And I know they make perfect plays, but I just, when you're getting shot early in the PK, it just feels like it's just more stressful. Oh my God, they got a shot. Now we got to kind of defend a little bit harder. Then there's another shot, then there's opening up. And yeah, so I'd like to see a little bit more shot mentality early in the penalty.
Chris R. says, when the playoffs start, McDavid is going to do what it takes to win, and shooting more will be part of that. So the idea being he'll start doing it then. I just think it'd be better if they all started doing it now. And I don't know, it kind of trickles through a little bit. Like Ryan McLeod has started trying to dangle his way through some prime scoring opportunities too. Like it just...
That is true. But this goes back to what I said before. Connor and Leon can do whatever they want. Ryan McLeod, you shoot when you're in the slot. But there has been a couple that I'm like, hey, seriously?
Yeah, I know.
Puck.
You see that one?
Seriously, yeah.
I know. Doodles, it's like, you need to be shooting the puck now.
Well, when he got the puck, he either had to know he was shooting it as soon as he got it, or he's passing it as soon as he got it. You have to know what you're going to do with it before the puck comes to your stick. Because if you don't, we saw what happened, nothing.
But when you're playing those guys, you're shooting it. With Kane and Perry, shoot it, because Perry set up shop right around the blue paint. Just get it there. Just get it to the net and give those guys a chance to do what they do.
Brownie, I'm going to give you the choice. You can go to bed or you can stick around for Strutty's World. And he's not going to be offended. It's a really late night for you.
Well, I am on the ice at 8 a.m. tomorrow morning for 5 hours. So could you do me a favor? Could you guys send me the Coles notes of what Strutty talks about?
Yeah, it's really going to be good.
I know it always is, Strutty. Always is.
The Oilers power play. I'm breaking it down.
Brownie, before I let you go, I heard you saying some interesting stuff with Reed on the Ched post-game show about what happened in Vegas tonight. Give us a quick synopsis of what happened and what you think it means in the big picture.
Well, Vegas was up 4-1 with 11 minutes to go in the game in Arizona, and they gave up 6 straight goals in 9 minutes to lose the game 7-4. I've seen both LA's final 6-game schedule. I've seen the Vegas Golden Knights' final 6-game schedule. Vegas has a much harder schedule. I think the Kings are 5-1. I think Vegas is going to go at best 4-2. And I think the Edmonton Oilers are going to play against the Los Angeles Kings in the first round. And also, there's a possibility that the Nashville Predators will be in the same grouping as the Kings, the Canucks, and the Oilers. We might not have to see the Vegas Golden Knights because of this blown lead at all in this year's playoffs.
Here tonight.
Bold statement.
Jeez. Very bold. No, I haven't been on the podcast in a while. I wanted to be bold. I heard Strutty's been throwing amazing stuff out. I heard he looked great on TV today.
Nailed it.
I want to be recognized too.
You see a path? You see the same pathway, Struts?
I still think it's going to be Vegas. And honestly, I think a lot of that is I want it to be Vegas. I think you got to beat the defending Stanley Cup champions and you beat them. I want that. I think that mentally, it's be a great thing for the Oilers.
And it'd be a better series. It'd be way more exciting to watch the Oilers in Vegas than the Oilers and the Kings, I think. I think it's just better hockey.
Yeah. All right, Brownie, good job tonight, buddy. Thanks for your patience through the technical difficulties, and we will chat on Sunday night.
Sounds good, guys.
All right, that is Rob Brown. Still plenty ahead on the show, folks. Stay with us.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca. Time now to take a lap, brought to you by Backscape, the fastest growing male grooming company on the planet. And it's even better now. Backscape 2.0 presenting engineered with a new friction fit handle that allows you to effortlessly snap the shaver in and out to touch up the rest of your body. The titanium shave head gives a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. It doesn't disrespect your skin and leave it all bumpy and sketchy. Go to backscape.com and use our promo code GYB10. That'll get you 10% off the Deluxe 2.0 and Advanced kits. That is BAKscape.com. Backscape, stay smooth, gentlemen. Struds, let's take some laps, buddy. Where are we going?
Starting at the Maple Leafs. Mitch Marner has been out 12 games with a ankle sprain. Sounds like he's going to be back tomorrow against Montreal. This is significant. The Leafs have kind of had a bit of a soft run. Mm-hmm. The Bolts are on their heels, although they have one game at hand, the Leafs do. But Marner's going to be back tomorrow, and it doesn't sound like he's going to be playing next to the big guy, Austin Matthews. Yeah. Bertuzzi, Domi have been there, so he's going to probably play with Tavares. So it's pretty interesting. And then actually Nylander would get bumped down the third line, which is, you know, it's spreading out your scoring pretty well. But, you know, I don't know. I've got a weird love-hate relationship going on with the Leafs, and I kind of want them – you know what it is? I want to see those fans – I don't want them to have the excuse that they had any injuries. When the Leafs lose, and whenever that happens, I like to see it when they're fully healthy. Then I think it just makes it sweeter.
It'll hurt their fan base that much more if they're That's healthy right. when they lose. Yeah. And it's very clear that their full roster wasn't enough.
Yeah. No. And Joel Edmondson, still, they're trying to figure out, you know, when he's going to be back. And that's one of the issues with Joel, is that he's battled so hard for so many years that he does tend to get nicked up rather frequently.
I was hosting the Ray and Dregs hockey pod this week because Dregs was away, and I put a question to Ray. I'd be interested in your answer as well. So 70 goals versus 100 assists. Which do you think is the more impressive? Because I will tell you this, Struddy. I don't know if I'll be able to find the notes I had that day. I had a whole pile of notes on the history of it. But bottom line, it's the more rare occurrence to get 100 assists than it is 70 goals, believe that or not.
Yeah, no, I think, what is it? It'd be like four people have done it, the assist, and then there's like 12 or something scored 70. I understand. I get it. I think, though, there's two assists on every goal. There's only one goal on every goal.
Very good point by you.
I think that I wish there were three assists on every goal, trust me, but I'd probably, I'm going to go with the 70 goals. And it feels very disrespectful to a guy who's going to accomplish something incredible. But just 70, like 50 is an incredible marker. You get 70, it's wild that you can get that. So, yeah, I'm going to go with 70. What did Ray say?
Ray said the goal scoring as well. Most people, and you nailed the reason, right? You can pick up secondary assists, and that's a little bit different. I mean, they're all primary goals, right? But interesting that I think McDavid at the time had 61 or 62 primary assists, and Matthews had 62 primary goals.
Yeah.
So McDavid has a ton of primary points as well. But I think for that reason, the secondary assists definitely change the complexion of that a little bit. Where are we taking lap number two?
Sticking with the goal scoring. Ovechkin, 850 and 851 tonight. This guy was couldn't score, you know, off to start the year, and he's on fire now. I think he's up to 28th goal of the year. So right now he's 44 off of Gretzky. So I'm going to assume that he even gets two more this year to get to 30. So is 42 goals doable for him next year? In October, November, I would have said not a chance, not a chance. But there is a chance that I think he can do it next year, which is a shocking development for considering what we saw early in the year.
But there is regression. Like, how do you anticipate a level of regression for a player that's this age, right? Because, I mean, would you be surprised at all if he went wire to wire at a similar pace to how he looked earlier this year? Like, I mean, he's getting up there. And
I would be surprised, but I'm surprised he bounced back after the start he had. Like, I watch quite a few of those games because my kids love Ovi. And I feel like he's slowed down. I think he's got to maybe, you know, find a way to get a little bit quicker, maybe lose a few pounds. And not saying he's out of shape, but just so it's a little easier, a little lighter. Like LeBron James did that. LeBron shaved his body down so that he'd run lighter.
Yeah.
And it's easier for him to get around that on the ice.
Good question came in. Who's he playing with next year? That kind of matters too, right? I'm just taking a look at what they've got.
Well, there's no one really. Who's he playing with right now? It's two. It's like, who's it? McMichael and LaPierre.
Is that who it is? I can take a quick look here while we're chatting.
I think he's playing with those centermen, and then I think Strom's been around.
Strom and Tom Wilson is what Daily Faceoff has right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, Strom's a capable playmaker, and Tom works hard. But, I mean, I don't think, I understand what you're saying, but it's Ovi, and I can't believe he's bounced back. I thought he was going to end up with 15 goals this year.
Yeah.
Here we are talking about 30 being realistic.
All right. That was Taking a Lap, brought to you by our friends over at Backscape. When we come back, Rob Brown's going to be sorry he missed this. Strutty's World and Ask Us Anything. Stay with us.
Spring is here, and if you're thinking of buying a new home during the housing market hot period, contacting a mortgage broker should be your first step. Maria Gallas with Maximal Mortgages can guide you with a stress-free experience. With access to dozens of different lenders, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you ready to put an offer in on your dream home. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallas at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Guy, I look good.
Time now for Strutty's World. Love that music. Brought to you by Shipwreck Rum. What a great addition to the pod, Zuby. This music you found. The Brindy family has been... It's so good. They've been handcrafting their rum on the Caribbean island of St. Kitts for decades now. Their vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, gives it an incredible smoothness. Take one sip and you'll agree it's a vacation in a bottle. Get Shipwreck fans at your local liquor retailer. As always, please enjoy responsibly. Struds, you know what I love, buddy? I love when sponsors support other sponsors. So yeah. I got a text today, and I won't say who from. Another sponsor texts me a picture of three bottles of Brindley Shipwreck Rum, three different flavors, and said, I'll let you know tonight how these are. And then I got a follow-up text a couple hours later with two thumbs up for all three of them. So sponsors appreciating sponsors.
So good. So good. Okay, today I want to talk a little bit about a specific shift I saw in the game. It was the second period. I think it was the second period at least. Yeah, it was. And at the 7-minute mark, down to about 6:15 when Bouchard took a tripping penalty, the Oilers were in the AV zone for 45 seconds. It was the big line, the two big D, just absolutely buzzing all over the place. But if you don't remember shift, I'll describe it. It was basically the Colorado Avalanche kind of staying more on the inside of the ice, and the Oilers were carrying the puck around the outside of the ice, what I call the less dangerous areas. And you know, the energy in the room, in the building gets up. Everyone thinks it's great, things are happening. But in reality, it looks good, but you're not necessarily getting a lot of things done. You have puck possession, but it doesn't translate, or that shift specifically, it didn't really translate into any real great scoring chances. So, you know, when the Oilers are out there and you're buzzing around, and we saw it with the Vegas last year, they're like, we're just going to hold the middle of the ice and let them skate around the outside of the ice. The Oilers have to find a way to create more off of those great ozone moments against elite, I'm talking elite teams here. So the way you do that, you have to have people sliding in and out of the inside of the ice, someone driving the net with a puck to the inside of the ice, because it can sometimes be a little bit misleading and for fans, and media alike, that you're doing something and you are doing something, but you're really not accomplishing anything. And that shift is a perfect example of what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I remember the shift that you're talking about, Struds. And I guess here's the thing. It's almost like when they give you the outside like that, you've got possession and you've got it on your stick, so you can kind of wait for what looks like a really good opportunity. Like, you don't want to, you know, be the one that creates a turnover, that creates a transition and has it go the other way. So they've got the opportunity to be patient and opportunistic. But I agree with you. At some point, someone's just got to make a power move, an unexpected power move to the middle, right? You have to be able to be willing to take that thing to the middle of the ice. And I think I agree with you. It's a shift that looks great, but doesn't necessarily accomplish a ton.
Yeah, and the energy is going crazy in the building because it is fun to watch. But again, you know, so what do you do? Well, like I said, I think you got to try to get guys cutting to the middle. I think a quick point to pass the point and a quick shot, just get it on net, knowing your buddies are going to the net. That's another way of doing it. But we saw that against Vegas last year. And what did they do? They stacked up multiple people in front, knocking the pucks down. So, like, you know, this is a very specific thing I'm talking about for the Oilers. And we saw it hurt them last year against Vegas. So this is something I think that they should I would show that clip and say, okay, what can we do differently? Not that we're losing the shift, but what are we accomplishing with so much ozone time?
Well, and I think what people maybe don't realize is how relaxed good teams are in that situation defensively. Like, it looks like the Oilers are all over the place. Dumb, but that team defending, they're happy. They're relaxed in that moment.
And guys would be yelling, "Hey, we're fine here. Everything's okay. Just stay tight. Just keep it in the middle." Because they didn't break through the middle. At least not that I remember. I have to go back and maybe watch the shift again. But it looks so good, but nothing's really getting done. So you gotta create something off there that, you know, that isn't misleading, that he had a good shift. You know, especially when it ends with a penalty. And not to put it on Bouchard, but there needs to be more done. And I'm thinking about specific matchups. You know, Dallas, Vegas, the Kings, obviously. But, you know, they're going to do that. They're going to clog up the middle and say, let them have the outside. They can have the bad ice. We'll hold the good ice.
Leaky37 says, cycle control doesn't mean much if there isn't a scoring chance. It's all got to mean something. It's all got to result in something. You know, it's good if you can hem them in and you take it to the net and you're grinding the D-men down. Maybe in a best case, like, maybe you get a half a change in, you get some fresh legs out there too, right? Fair point. Keep them pounded in there. So I don't mind them being opportunistic when they have possession and waiting for the right moment. Nothing like somebody just forcing an unnecessary play to the middle just because. But I agree with you. I think it needs to be effective. And this team, I do think, Struds, they do need to have a little bit more of an instinct to take the puck to the middle of the ice sometimes.
Yeah, drive it, make it ugly. Yeah. And because what can happen is you can have that type of shift over and over and over again for 5-6 shifts in a row, and you really don't do anything, right? And so the other team just becomes comfortable. Then all of a sudden it's 4, 5, 6 games in a row, right? And you're not breaking through that middle of the ice. You have to find a way to compete for that middle of the ice in the offensive zone.
All right, that was Strutty's World, brought to you by sponsor-approved Shipwreck Rum. When we come back, lots of great action on the stream tonight. Really great contribution. We appreciate everybody that's been patient with us tonight. So we will take some questions in Ask Us Anything. And Strutty, think of a trivia question. Wasn't going to do a hat giveaway tonight, but we made people wait. So I think we should do a hat giveaway tonight. So we'll give away a hat after the break and then Ask Us Anything. For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com. Zuby, when we do ask us anything, Michael Cook.
Yeah, well, I'm going to ask it.
Michael Cook's all over us. He's got a very random question that I think fits Ask Us Anything perfect.
I solicited the non-hockey question, so then I got to come through and put him in the show.
Yeah, you got to get him in the show. All right, time now to give away a hat brought to you by our great friends over at DeBoer's Golf Shop and Fitting Center. They make you a better golfer. They get you better equipment, great clothing, great apparel, and they help make you a better golfer. Scotty and TJ and Al and the crew over there can work with you. Book some sim time with them, do a club fitting, get some new stuff, some lessons, whatever you want. Over at DeBoer's. Let's give away a hat. Struds will ask the trivia question, and then I will instruct you what to do with your answer.
Nathan MacKinnon has had an incredible career. How many times has he scored 50 goals in his NHL career?
I like it. How many times has Nathan MacKinnon scored 50 goals in his NHL career? To answer, go to gybpod.com, click on GYB Swag up in the corner, and send us your answer. And if you get it right, your name will go into a draw. You got to go pick up the hat at DeBoer's, and they will have $25 of store credit for you there as well. So once again, pick it up at DeBoer's, and they've got $25 in store credit. All right. Time now for our Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House. Happy hours better at Match Pub Ice District. Score 20% off appies, half price wine, and other drink specials every day, 2 to 4 p.m., located adjacent to Rogers Place in Grand Villa Casino. Walked by there tonight. The place was absolutely hopping. Oiler fan was in a good mood, doing some post-game celebrating. For more information, check them out at matchpub.com. Zuby, hop on in here, bud. Let's get the stream contributions rolling.
Absolutely. To whoever wins the hat tonight, you're welcome, because couldn't get the show started on time. Yes. That we gave away a hat, so you're welcome.
That is our reward for
patience. Whoever gets this is me doing some good, and also Strutty, you're welcome. That I held off on coming back in while you were in the middle of that gigantic yawn as we were just coming back from this last segment. Oh, I waited.
I yawned three times.
I watched Strutty in the. What do you call it, in the preview window, waited for his yawn to finish after the Belvedere golf ad before.
See, that's good producing. That's good technical
producing. Thank you.
Producing.
I owe you one.
He's got your back.
Always. Okay, do you want to start with the silly Michael Cook question?
No, I'll finish
okay.
with that.
All right. Noel Rinsky, interesting little stat he dug up here that I presume to be accurate without double checking it. He says, since the trade deadline, CeCe has 5 points and is +1, and Walker has 5 points and is -1. And that was a big Oiler fan. I mean, there's obviously lots more that goes into a player's play than that, but some statistics there that everyone who wants, you know, really wanted to say how much better Walker was than CeCe. Stats are almost dead even and even favor CeCe a little bit. What have you seen from Cody's game in the last couple games?
I feel like he has been trying to be more offensive. He hit a post today, jumped up a few times to kind of get involved in the offense. And that's all great and fine, but I still want to see more physicality from him. I want to see him be harder to play against all over the ice. Maybe not be in his wheelhouse, but you got to step out of your comfort zone to make it happen. And, you know, Walker, I thought, you know, he came out excited to play on his new team, but that wears off and you kind of find your role.
We'll see if CeCe can bring it in the playoffs, right? Like Ryan McLeod needs to do that too. Not their natural instinct, but the playoffs need to draw that out of you. So, you know, I'm done criticizing them every single game for not being physical enough. You're kind of asking an apple to be an orange, but come playoff time, you need to be an orange. And those guys need to turn into oranges come playoff time. We'll see if they can.
Shane Matheson asks, now that they have clinched, how many games, well, he says, does Broberg Holloway possibly get? There's cap gymnastics there, but let's also add on to that. Noel Rinsky said, is the coach concerned about 97 getting the Art Ross? In other words, should he cut back his ice time and blowouts? So I guess the question is here, now that they've clinched, do you foresee any roster changes of them handling things differently in the last few games?
Okay, well, let's look on the back end. Who would you want to give a night off to? Ekholm?
Probably. Yeah, maybe.
Probably, I mean, can give him a night off. And if he does get a night off, then obviously you slide in the big guy. The big guy being Broberg. Probably got to get Stetcher a game in between now and then. So if, on the right side, who'd you want to give a game off to? That's a little harder. Maybe CeCe. You know, so maybe you can alternate one of those guys each game.
Do you need to give CeCe a night off?
Well, no, but just to get Stetcher in a game. You know what I mean? I think that's it. Because it's you can't really say, well, let's go 7D, because there's a lot of forwards that aren't playing that need to be playing as well.
Yeah. They still got to lock up home ice advantage here too, right? Strady? Like they can't take their foot off the pedal too much.
No, and let's get through one more week. Because what do they play? They play Saturday, Wednesday, Friday. Am I right?
Saturday, Wednesday against Vegas, Friday against Coyotes, and then back-to-back next weekend, Friday, yeah. Saturday, and then against Canucks is Saturday.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know. I would like to see those guys get a chance to play, but you know, it'd be probably those are guys who are getting rest.
This is all very Strutty heavy stuff. This is all tailor-made for Struds here tonight.
Do it. I'm going to sit back.
Chris R said Desharnais nominated for the Bill Masterson trophy is going to be a big boost to his game. Do you think something like that, how would that affect a guy like Vinny Desharnais?
Yeah. I mean, Vinny Desharnais is never going to win a Hart trophy or a Norris or anything that Calder trophy. So it's nice to be recognized by people that are around the team, and because that was voted on by the media, right? Sugar?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's a nice one to be recognized by the people that cover the team and see what you do around in the dress room, before practice, after practice, all that kind of stuff. So I think that's really nice. I'm not just going to elevate his game. Like, I think he's playing well already. I don't know how much more it can elevate him, but it definitely would feel good. Just to be nominated is a real special thing, to be picked out by not necessarily your peers, but people that see you pretty close about what you can do and what you've done to help the team.
Kelvin Pickard a close second, I think, in that voting. I'll just throw in a quick note on Desharnais. Struds, you said months ago that they needed to get him signed. I think there had been some discussions between the two sides. I mean, look, if you don't get it done here in the next week and a half, you're not going to go into the playoffs and deal with this at that point in time. So they're in a window here to try and get something done. My sense on it is that it might be unlikely that it gets done before the start of the playoffs. Maybe this one gets put on hold and this one waits. That's my sense on it in the moment. I could be wrong, but that's where I think things potentially sit right now.
And why would you sign if you're Vinny at this point? Let's see what you can do in the playoffs, right? And maybe the owners are thinking the same thing. So I get it from the player's perspective for sure.
Yeah.
Kevlar 44 said, I think Derek Ryan is much better after getting some nights off. Jesse Bitz added into that. Where are you guys at with Sam Carrick or Derek Ryan?
Well, Derek had a great night tonight killing penalties, like elite level penalty killing. I thought he was very, very notable, to use Schauger's name or word, I should say. But Sam Carrick also is a guy that could be in there. I wonder if there aren't, we won't see a game here where maybe Connor Brown comes out and either Carrick or Ryan plays on the wing.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Shift Ryan over to the wing. Yeah, potentially. I mean, if the playoffs started tomorrow and you had to pick between those two, Struds, who's starting for you? Is it opponent driven or?
Ooh, Mama, that's a good question. Derek Ryan's a really good, he's been a very good penalty killer.
And I think he's skating better than he was last year. I think he's moving this year than he was last year.
Could be. I think it might be Derek Ryan. And I know he traded for Sam Carrick, but I think it might be Derek Ryan.
Yeah. A couple more, Zuby.
Yeah. Trizant said, when would the team fly to Calgary? I believe I heard that they're flying tonight. You guys can correct me if I'm wrong. But he also said,
yes.
as a player, when would you prefer to be flying out in this back-to-back scenario?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, you have to leave. The rules are you leave after the game. Like you're supposed
not
to
traveling
be
on a game day.
Yeah, that's how you say it in English. Yeah.
There you go. Okay.
You can't risk anything going wrong with the travel and the game not being able to start. You always travel in the day before.
Yeah.
Okay. Davin said, I don't know if this has been a previous discussion or not, but I like this idea. Davin says, there needs to be a trophy for best offensive defenseman and for the best defensive defenseman. They have a trophy for best defensive forward. What do you think of that? And where do you think that? I think there was some talk about that, that the people in the stream thought Mattias Ekholm would fit very highly in that defensive defenseman voting.
I got no issue with adding that award. I think it's an incredibly important skill. I think those players are incredibly important. And I think recognizing that guy every year would make complete sense. Struds, what do you think?
Yeah, there's a bias against defensemen in the NHL. That's clear. The problem of what would happen with that is they'd have to be a defensive defenseman who still puts up points.
Right, it's just, that's right, yeah.
It's ridiculous. And I hate that bias. Like, it should be voted on by people that understand that you don't have to get points to be contribute. Like Chris Tanev, that'd be the guy. That'd be the guy I'd want to put in there. So Ekholm is good defensively. I think Chris Tanev might be better. And I think, well, maybe not now, but you know, a few years ago. So I just know it turned into a points fest. So I don't want to disgrace the defensive defenseman with that type of thing.
Skeptical says Struds in his prime versus Rempe. How would that fight go?
Oh, not well. Not well. You would beat me up. You know, actually, I probably could fight him now, but like 4 or 5 years from now, I wouldn't want to fight him. Like, he's only going to get
fight
better.
Him now with you at 49 and him.
No,
at,
but no, but what? Like with. Like when I was probably, let's say when I was 29, 30, and he was
more experienced.
He's now, yeah, like he hasn't learned how to fight.
Yeah, you need to fight him. Fight. Yeah, before he's
getting better. Like you look at his first few fights, he's very close. And you're like, thank you, big man. You know, but now he's starting to push guys away a little bit. I mean, I fought some big guys, but it's not fun because you can't reach them, especially when they figure that out. So, yeah. In 3-4 years, he would beat the wheels off me like every other killer has.
All right, okay. Zuby, last one, buddy.
Got a couple. I wanted to say, the Coltrane said, the Oilers remembered to play hockey for my birthday today. Best gift a guy could ask for. Happy birthday to the Coltrane. Cole. Jay said, you guys should stream a golf showdown from the simulator. We got to do an episode down the road, just straight up 18 holes.
Oh, boy.
The match, if you will. Yeah. I think that's a great idea. And I think I should fly out for it and I'll just be there. I'll do some commentary and sip on some shipwreck rum. The final one, this was Michael. And like I said, I solicited silly questions, so I have to honor them. Michael Cook says, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized elephants or one elephant-sized duck?
Well, that qualifies as silly.
Let's think about that. So 100 duck-sized elephants. So a whole bunch of little elephants.
Right.
Or one elephant-sized duck.
A gigantic duck. I'm taking the big duck. What are you taking, Struds?
You are taking the big duck?
Yeah, I'm fighting the big duck.
How do you beat up the big duck? How do you fight the big duck?
I'm just punching him in the feathers. He's...
No,
I don't like because the idea of a bunch of things swarming me. That's scarier.
I would take that 100 on so quick. I'd go running into them. I'd look like a wedge breaker in the football.
Just
go flying in there. They're tiny. A tiny little elephant. What are you worried about an elephant? I wouldn't even think twice about that. That is the easiest question. Silly, but not hard to answer.
That was amazing. That was Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Match Eatery and Public House. Okay, folks, welcoming on a brand new partner to the podcast and a bit of an appropriate rebranding to our final segment. Yes, it is the play of the day, brought to you by Play Alberta, the official gaming partner of the Oilers, Flames, Elks, and Stampeders. Bet on the games that matter and the players you love with the odds, boosts, and player props. Play in Alberta. stays in Alberta. Deposit today and get a $50 free bet code with GYB50. So use the code GYB50 and you'll get that $50 free bet code. Visit playalberta.ca, and thrilled to have Play Alberta on as a sponsor and a partner. Struds, I have to say, in all of our meetings, lots of discussion. They put a huge focus on responsible playing. And that's one of the things I really like about bringing them on board. It's a big part of their messaging. So play for fun, you know, play whatever you can afford to, like, you know, don't overplay. And that's a big part of their messaging. And we're thrilled to have Play Alberta on board tonight. So what is our first play of the day, Struds?
Oh, I'll tell you what, for the first one, there's a perfect moment that we can all agree was a big part of the game when Ekholm hit Rantanen. The second time, not the first one he dropped them, the second time. That just set it, you know, it just kind of continued to set the tone of what the Oilers have been doing all day. So that one is easily the play of the day.
That is a gooder. And, you know, Matthias Ekholm has been doing so much for this team lately. He's not an overly physical guy. We don't see him do that.
No.
And to do it against to do it against a player that important, holy snap.
And so that guy is so big. Mikko Rantanen is so big. And I'll repeat, I don't think he was intentionally looking to drop the hammer on him. I think sometimes hits just come to you. But a great hit and a great outcome, and other guys can get on board.
Matthias Ekholm earning the first play of the day, brought to you by our new partners over at Play Alberta. That'll wrap up the show, folks. Thanks so much for tuning in and joining us. Thanks for your patience on the live stream tonight. Zuby, I know you were sweating early, buddy, but you recovered well.
YouTube's killing me. I'm going to need, what do you call it? Heart paddles here next to my desk every time that YouTube tries to throw me under the bus. But
it's so funny. We told everybody, no YouTube tonight. Sorry, everyone. We'll see you on Twitter. They were like, aw. And then he hit go, and we were up on YouTube.
It's so, second time it's done. Almost the exact same. Well, different thing, but same result.
We'll get it sorted out. Zuby, you're a beauty, buddy. We love you. Struds, good job tonight, my man. What you got planned this weekend, buddy?
Oh, lots of kids' activities, buddy. Lots of kids' activities. So, I'll be drowning.
But I love it. You're grinding. You're grinding. No post-game pod tomorrow night after the Calgary game, but we will regroup with Brownie on Sunday night for our usual Sunday night podcast. Have a great finish to your evening, a great weekend, and we look forward to chatting with you on Sunday night. See you guys.